Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all. Welcome to our 354th episode of Think Again,
a
program produced by Borderlands Cooperative, an organization working for social change for over 28 years. I am Jacques Boulet.
And I'm Jennifer Burrell. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation.
So today we'll talk about something really important in our current politics that isn't really getting enough attention, we think. And that is the threat of authoritarianism in Australia, following overseas trends. We have talked about quite a bit actually, about Australian politics and its rather abysmal quality and the uninspiring directions it seems to be leading us, particularly the ways in which the political system, still referred to as democratic, is actually doing this leading.
Yeah, so-called leading. And our emphasis is on the political system because it's not really just about a popularity contest between political leaders, or at least it shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm, that's right. Especially as we're all grown a bit tired of the ongoing discussion about Prime Minister Albanese's melon faux pas while talking about and with the Japanese PM, which he made on a sort of a rather tacky podcast.
Yeah, and he entered the tackiness.
That's right, he certainly did.
And if you miss that, we'll leave you with that happiness. Because today we're going to look at the signs of growing and ominous support for authoritarianism in Australia.
To start off, let's just give some space to a few editorial comments made by Amy Romakis, contributing editor to The New Daily and chief political analyst for the Australian Institute. For those listeners who don't yet know or are not familiar, the Australian Institute is an independent public policy think tank, funded by a diverse mix of philanthropic donations, all the way down to book sales, because they've got two series of books. Like Borderlands, they are working on researching and talking about issues such as inequality, climate, energy, democracy, economic reform and education, and attempting to bring about change for the better in all of those areas. Mm-hmm. Amy Romakis, being their chief political analyst, also offers a weekly opinion piece in the New Daily. The New Daily, which is a free daily newspaper online, which was started by the Australian Superannuation Funds and is now owned by Solstice Media, an independent media group operating from Adelaide, and they source their news from credible and critical resources.
Yeah, so you just gave some great plugs for alternative press.
And don't we need them, don't we need them? We're also therefore really happy to belong to that alternative media
3CR.
Or press. That's correct. Romakis has been critical of the political discourse in this country when she was still a Guardian journalist and columnist, and now at Australia Institute, where she seems to have found the freedom to offer her critical views about what's happening in the political economy of this country. So yesterday, published in the New Daily, she wondered about the big fuss with the return of Parliament and how the debate has largely been drowned out by melons, of all things.
The melons. Even though she thought our PM should not have been drawn into these inappropriate conversations on the now infamous podcast.
Yeah. The real question is, of course, why are we talking about melons?
Yes.
A month about the podcast aired.
Yeah.
And about so many other silly things about words and behaviours of politicians.
Yeah.
Romakis suggests, and I quote her, because Labour and coalition mostly agree on the big issues. Mm-hmm. There is no policy fight at the moment because they are in sync on gambling promotion, on the NDIS cuts, on gas taxes or the lack of them, with both largely on the side of fossil fuels companies.
Yeah, evidently. And on defence, the political fight is over who loves America the most.
That's right.
And who would send more taxpayer funds into the never-ending military defence black hole.
Starting with AUKUS and giving our land away to American military bases, yeah. And on migration, the main parties are largely happy to head in the direction mapped out by neo-Nazis, who were among the most vocal groups marching our streets, demanding cuts to migration, with that now picked up by One Nation.
Yeah.
Ellen Remakis concludes, and I quote her again, whilst they may argue on some details about how to get there, they are in the same space. The Liberals are following One Nation. Labour is following the Liberals following One Nation. Why are all following, and who are all following neoliberalism?
Mm-hmm.
And why, she goes on, why do we pretend these people are fighting? They've largely proven themselves to be on the same side of anything that truly matters. So what does that say about Australia and its politics?
Yeah, it looks like a Punch and Judy show, really. And with the neoliberalism of the last few decades, a turbocharged capitalism, that seen inequality escalate. So referring to the neoliberalism.
Mm-hmm.
And that's resulted in much of the so-called cost of living crisis and discontent we see today connected with that. We don't see that being targeted, that turbocharged capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, Pauline Hanson's One Nation blames who?
Migrants, of course.
Good,
yep.
Good shark. And the old fascist playbook, breeding in the petri dish of economic hardship and inequality.
Mm-hmm.
As we know from history, the discontent and resentment of struggles and lost hope somehow make authoritarian movements and figures more appealing, unfortunately, and that's where we are now.
Yeah, that's quite right. Authoritarian voices are being appeased. In an earlier contribution in the New Daily on the 9th of August, Amy Remakis reflected, and I'll quote her, I quote the title of her contribution there, appeasement of authoritarian voices dooms us to repeating a disastrous history.
Mm-hmm.
She comments about the reaction to Hanson's recent trips around the world and her, and I put that in quotation marks, her consultations with far-right politicians and activists.
Mm. All supported by Australia's richest billionaire, Gina Rinehart.
And Remakis warns about a possible return to or a repeat of fascist historical victories.
Yeah, which of course, that's echoed in a book I've just read, Repeat, A Warning from History by Dennis Glover. And Dennis Glover describes the disastrous early appeasement of fascists in past history, and some far past, but some not so sort of fairly recent too.
Mm-hmm.
And that appeasement, he talks about how it enabled authoritarian leaders to take power and seize control of society, not just government, but society's institutions. And then it becomes too late to do anything about it.
That's right.
So, of course, Hitler's probably the most famous figure that illustrates that. And Hitler is given, in Dennis Glover's book, is given as one of the prime examples. So those in power at the time, say going back to Germany 1930s, they thought they could use and control him, just as Republicans thought they could use and control Trump, and that was, they thought that before Hitler's power became supreme, and then of course many were killed, along with many other dissenters and objectors. Mm. And I'm even at that point talking before World War II,
absolutely,
the 1930s.
Yes, indeed. When critical commentators warn about the possibility of the rise of the far right or authoritarianism or fascism, then Lutheran pastors Martin Niemöller or Dietrich Bonhoeffer they are often called upon. Both were imprisoned, and Bonhoeffer was killed by the Nazis when they and their church publicly opposed Hitler's Aryan ideology. Niemöller's oft-repeated speech about the lack of early awareness and action when authoritarianism and fascism started to ingrain themselves in Germany in all of the operations of organizations, institutions, and so on, which was leading then to the Second World War and the well-known other atrocities the Nazi regime is still remembered for.
Yeah, including the Holocaust,
That's right. Niemöller reminded Germans post the war that when the Nazis came for the communists, he didn't react, because he was not a communist. And when they then came and went after successive groups like socialists, unionists, Jews, all the way to when they came for him and his church, there was no one left to protect him or resist the further spread of fascism.
Yeah, and I think the line is, and then they came for me.
That's yeah that's correct. And there was no one left to defend me. So reminding us of that episode in history and where it ended, Remakis warns of the danger of not early or strongly enough reacting to the spread of signs that sociopolitical or cultural environments are moving away from some of the accepted and often hard-fought values of tolerance, freedom, freedom of expression, and conviction.
Freedom of conviction.
That's right. She points at the lack of open criticism by politicians, criticism of Hansen and One Nation, and the reluctance to point out the direct influence Reinhardt exercises over Australian politics across the two parties in the so-called two-party democratic system, which we have already in our past programs talked about as a triangle, with the media, of course, very much playing a big role in that two-party system.
Yeah, well, as Amy Remakis concludes, Reinhardt is a member of a billionaire class many blame for tearing the fabric of our society apart, destroying our environment, and setting the dictates of what is and isn't acceptable, unquote.
Absolutely. So let's have a listen to Righteous Ones by Blue King Brown.
Babylon make way. Babylon crumble. Big wave. what was left untold. Turning the cracks them into gaping holes. Repossessing all the knowledge is stolen, utilizing all the lessons from the days of old. They fight against the righteous with subliminal plots. Will we live up in our love, cause that is all we've got. Skipping, skanking, jumping over stumbling blocks. Fluid like a water, still be solid.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Before the break, we discussed yet again the deteriorating quality of Australian political discourse and political or public debate. We especially and yet again identified the desperate attempts at maintaining the fiction of a two-party democracy when the so-called shadow cabinet is allowed to hold the governing party imprisoned into an assumed centre. That in fact makes the far-right policies of the pro-fascist One Nation rebel and their billionaire supporter acceptable.
Yeah. So let's speak up and learn from lessons in history before it's too late. That's what I'd say. And in his book, Repeat, Dennis Glover describes some signs of emerging fascism that we can learn from history if we want to. In the 1930s, we started talking about before the break, in the 1930s, a very minor fringe political party in Germany, the Nazis, became suddenly enormously and unexpectedly popular at the same time as the people experienced a devastating economic crisis, which of course wasn't a coincidence. Glover quotes Hitler's biographer Volker Ulrich. Is that the right pronunciation? Quote, an apocalyptic mood of helplessness began to take hold, even among those segments of the population that were not primarily affected by the Depression. Faith in democratic institutions and democratic political parties dissolved, and anti-parliamentary sentiment, already rife in the Weimar Republic, was given a huge boost. Those in power appeared to have no solution to the crisis, and the more helpless they seemed to be, the greater the demand became for a strong man, a political messiah who would lead Germany out of economic misery and point the way towards renewed national greatness, unquote. So I think everyone's familiar with Trump's Make America Again slogan. Well,
great again.
What did I say?
Just drop the great.
Make America Great Again slogan. Well, it was Germans' Make Germany Great Again version, of course, long before Trump. A form of hyperbolic nationalism that Australia may not be so susceptible to, but let's not get too comfortable with that.
Certainly not. And helping Hitler to his ascendancy were strategic media and communications, as we have been telling our listeners with news from Murdoch, certainly backing up what we were just describing.
But also social media, the advance.
Totally. In Germany at the time, the main work of Joseph Goebbels. So
was media and communications.
He was also the main general he was one of the branches of the military. So Trump's overall approach is not so very new when you think about it. It's just amplified these days by a faster and wider-reaching internet.
Yeah, just think of the right-wing advances campaign against an Aboriginal voice to Parliament.
And many other interventions they are into, together with the Atlas International Network, as we have already commented about in earlier programs.
And bankrolled by billionaires.
Absolutely.
In Australia.
Yes, and US. So to quote from Dennis Glover again, and I quote him, Goebbels mixed Hitler's ranting ideas into a strong, forward-looking vision and appealing digestible messages whose effectiveness was reinforced by the latest campaigning techniques, flying Hitler from rally to rally, the use of radio, film, songs, demonstrations, parades, and more.
Which was the cutting-edge technology
at that stage.
Cutting-edge technology of the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. Glover sees a similar figure in the current United States with Steve Bannon, the leader of the alt-right groups and also publisher. Apparently, Bannon's hero is Lenin, leader of the Bolshevik Revolution, because Lenin said he wanted to destroy the state, and Bannon said that that's his goal too. Mm-hmm. To quote Glover again, the makings of Bannon's revolution were already in place. He had shock troops, thousands of bored and alienated young men, linked to each other via the internet message boards. And he had a propaganda machine, his Breitbart News, the news channel, and later his podcast, which he titled The War Room.
Mm-hmm.
All he needed really for success was
an appealing
frontman to act as leader,
yeah.
Which, of course, Trump.
That's right, just as Goebbels had Hitler, Bannon found his Trump. And the invention of fake news is also not so new. It was concocted by the Third Reich to justify violent crackdowns on dissenters and scapegoats in Germany in
mm-hmm.
1933.
Absolutely.
So what happened was there was an arson attack on the Reichstag building, which was home of the German parliament, just 4 weeks after Adolf Hitler was sworn in as Chancellor. So the Nazis in power were ready for this pretext, waiting for a pretext,
mm-hmm.
Spreading fake news that there was a planned communist uprising, falsely, of course. And they used this as an excuse to violently squash opposition. By the end of 1933, more than 13,000 communists had been arrested, 13,000, and 2,500 murdered. Following this, the Nazis increased their vote. They increased their vote share to 43.9%.
Close to half of the vote, yeah. Apparently, they never had an electoral majority anywhere.
Yeah, so I think even as you say, it's nearly half.
Mm-hmm.
It's still surprising.
That's right.
You think it's actually not half.
No, it isn't. But they had a majority where it mattered to maintain and exercise power. The police, the judiciary, and on the streets and in the military. And if that seems like a long time ago, just think of current ICE operations in the US, and the stacking of the US judiciary. And also think of the language our politicians and newsmakers use when talking about protests and protesters, calling them extremists or terrorists, as John Menadue, Pearls and Irritations founder, recently pointed out in one of his daily message collections.
Yeah, and of course there's all the culture wars, which we don't have time to go into here, but they're another hallmark of rising authoritarianism,
mm-hmm.
taking control of what people are publishing,
mm-hmm.
what they're saying, what they're performing, what they're writing, what they're teaching, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, certainly the US is ahead of us as Trump uses the old fascist playbook in multiple ways, but in Australia we're still sleepwalking into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And where is the protest against the swing to the far right and the protest where it matters?
That's correct. And we've already commented on the timidity in calling out and opposing One Nation. Just as One Nation makes its appeals to people who are struggling economically and feel forgotten and unrepresented.
Yeah, while budding up to the wealthy end of town and taking luxury holidays with Gina Reinhart,
as
you mentioned, Jacques. So, well, Dennis Glover ends his book with a few suggestions, which we'll summarise, but maybe shuffling his order a little bit. So, number one, address inequality and discontent, especially as these are the conditions in which extremists flourish. And I want to say, I think that's the most important one.
I would agree.
And it's something we should be doing anyway, right?
That's right.
And number two, read the signs early, so that's now, because they are everywhere. And to quote Dennis Glover, listen to what populist leaders are saying and take note, because sometimes they really do mean it, unquote. And I would add, this especially should be applied to One Nation. Listen to what they're saying. If they're in power, they'll do it.
Rather than just say that she's a silly woman or something.
Yeah, right.
The third one would be arm democracy against populism. Populists respect strength.
True.
So use strength against them because you no longer have the choice.
Or the strength.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and four.
A populist and dictators must be subjected to the law. Remove, impeach, prosecute, and jail them when the evidence is there.
Don't try to placate them.
That's right. And finally, rid yourself of the idea that it can't happen again. It is actually happening in many places around the world, and timidity here is allowing authoritarian sentiment to take hold of people's minds and actions.
It certainly is.
Mm-hmm.
But just yesterday, we did see a glimmer of hope and some of this resistance happening with thousands of university and high school students across Australia walking out of class to protest against Pauline Hanson and her party One Nation. So how heartening is that? But we definitely shouldn't leave all the responsibility of protest to students, mostly young people at the start of their adult life. Perhaps unsurprisingly, there was a lot of criticism of the students by political leaders. So not only are they not doing anything about this rising authoritarianism, placating it, they're actually criticising students when they do it.
That's right.
But probably most shameful was the comment by the Federal Education Minister, Jason Clare, who said that such protests should occur outside of time in the classroom. They should stay in the classroom and be quiet and docile.
Yeah, and isn't Claire a real great disappointment? And it is also a repeat of what we heard when the young people went to the streets to protest about the environment and all of that. You know, we still remember that. We were part of that. But he probably, Claire, has no choice with his cabinet leader, Albanese, always being careful to be balanced, supposedly balanced, because he is that way.
And because balanced, with the shift to the right, has become the new right.
Totally.
So balance means right, actually. So I would say to Jason Clare, let's keep our students tame for an authoritarian future. That's what he's asking for.
Right.
So let's not do this. We're going to go straight into community announcements too with a couple of suggestions. So there are protests happening around the place. There's a great free rock concert on Sunday, 30th of August, Rock Against Racism at Camp Sovereignty. That's at Lithgow Avenue. Is it Lithgow or Lithgow?
No, Lithgow.
Avenue, King's Domain, Melbourne. So that's Sunday, 30th of August, 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. And also there's a public forum. Don't let the racists divide us, building the fight against One Nation. So right on topic. And that's hosted by the Refugee Action Collective. That'll be at Victorian Trades Hall, Wednesday, 9th of September at 6:30 p.m. So put that in your diaries. Wednesday, 9th of September, 6:30 p.m. Victorian Trades Hall, 54 Victoria Street, Carlton.
Yeah, and that's certainly important because we saw in The Age this morning that Labour is considering deporting people who overstay their visa.
Capitulation to the authoritarian right.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio. If you would like to send any comments, please email borderlandsinfo@borderlandscooperative.net. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milko Mana by King Stingray.
Rubber gay, I'll call my. You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.